From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Belt and Road cooperation mustn't be politicized. Indonesia optimistic about the future of cooperative relations with Latin America and the Caribbean. Indonesia seeks inclusion of illegal fishing as transnational crime. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said cooperation within the framework of the Belt and Road Initiative, or BRI, initiated by the Chinese government should not be politicized for the interests of certain parties. President Joko Widodo conveyed this when delivering his remarks at the opening of the high-level conference or summit, the Third Belt Road Forum, or BRF, at the Great Hall of the People, Beijing, China.
Dan di tengah situasi dunia yang semakin terbelah, kerjasama BRI tidak boleh dipolitisasi. Ini membutuhkan upaya kita bersama dalam
menjaga nilai-nilai utama. In the middle of an increasingly divided world, BRI cooperation mustn't be politicized. This requires our joint efforts in maintaining core values so that this initiative becomes stronger and more impactful. There are three things I want to convey. The first is synergy, which provides ownership space for the host country to run its national project independently, because a sense of ownership is very important for the sustainability of the project. Indonesia has a national project for the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train, which is then synergized with the BRI and recently has recently been launched and operational.
Dan baru-baru ini telah diluncurkan dan dioperasionalkan. Kedepan kami juga akan sinergikan pembangunan ibu kota baru, IKN, transisi energi, dan hilirisasi industri.
The President added that in the future, Indonesia will synergize the development of the Nusantara new capital city and the energy transition and downstream industry. The President explained that secondly, the Belt and Road Initiative program must be based on an equal partnership and mutual need. Meanwhile, thirdly, the sustainability of BRI projects must be ensured for the long term and strengthen the economic foundations of partner countries, not complicate their fiscal conditions. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo also expressed his thanks to the Chinese government and President Xi for their contribution to the developing countries through BRI. Next, we have President of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping, who said that cooperation between China and Indonesia in building One Belt, One Road brings great benefits to the people of both countries. President Xi Jinping conveyed when opening a bilateral meeting with the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, and the Great Hall of the People in Beijing on Tuesday, October 17th. President Xi added that this has become an important model for international cooperation in building the One Belt, One Road initiative. Indonesia is the first place I propose to jointly build the 21st century maritime Silk Road. The last 10 years have produced results. China and Indonesia cooperation in building One Belt, One Road is at the forefront of the region, bringing great benefits to the people of both countries, and has become an important model for international cooperation in the joint construction of One Belt, One Road. In his remarks, President Xi Jinping said, facing an interconnected world filled with chaos, China is willing to forge ahead with Indonesia, strengthen mutual support towards modernization and national revival, lead the development of long-term and stable bilateral relations by jointly building China-Community Relations Indonesia, which has a shared future. Director General of America and Europe, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Umar Hadi, said he was optimistic that cooperation between Indonesia, Latin America, and the Caribbean would continue to increase in the future. This year, Indonesia again held the 5th Indonesia-Latin America and the Caribbean Business Forum, or INALAC BF, which was attended by 636 business people from 13 Latin American and Caribbean countries and resulted in 9 draft agreements and 1 previously signed agreement. In a statement delivered in Jakarta on Tuesday, he said this optimism was reflected in the successful implementation of the INALAC Business Network led by the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN.
Dari yang kelima kali ini sudah kita lakukan proses INALAC Business Forum, ya, kelihatannya semakin ada bentuknya. Yang pertama, dalam konteks INALAC Business Network yang dinakodai oleh KADIN.
From the fifth time we have carried out the INALAC Business Forum process, it seems that it is taking more shape. In the context of the INALAC Business Network, which is led by KADIN, it has reached KADIN from 22 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. Why is this important? Because if our KADIN is more active and has network with KADIN from those countries, it means that communication between the business world in Indonesia and those countries will be smoother and more institutionalized. So at least every time we create INALAC, there will be a business opportunity. This network between chambers of commerce and industry is something that I really appreciate, because it was only twice last year, and this year this network business has reached 22 countries.
Hargai ya, karena baru dua kali, jadi baru yang tahun lalu sama tahun ini kan bisnis network ini dan sudah menjangkau 22 negara.
Furthermore, Umar Hadi also expressed his appreciation to the Indonesian ambassadors in Latin American and Caribbean countries, who have also encouraged the promotion of Indonesia's potential to business people in these countries, including encouraging entrepreneurs in Latin American and Caribbean countries to establish institutional relations with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. The implementation of the series of Indonesia, Latin America, and Caribbean, or INALAC Business Forum, and Indonesia-Europe Business Forum, or IEBF, on October 16 to the 17 in Jakarta, has resulted in trade transactions up to Tuesday of more than 6.4 trillion rupiah. This was conveyed by the Director General of the America and Europe of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Umar Hadi, in a statement on Tuesday in Jakarta. He said the Indonesian Latin America and Caribbean Business Forum and Indonesia-Europe the Business Forum was attended by more than 1,371 participants from 46 countries who attended both offline and online.
Jadi kalau total transaksi dagang yang sudah terjadi sampai titik sekarang besok mungkin ada lagi. Tapi sampai titik sekarang itu transaksi dagang yang dibuka.
Total trade transactions that have occurred today, tomorrow there may be more trade transactions that have been recorded in US dollar. 482,674,989.95. Apart from trade transactions, the INELAC and IEBF forums also resulted in the signing of 17 draft agreements and the announcement of 9 agreements. Umar Hadi added, with more than 100 business matches, the two business forums also produce a commitment to cooperation in the form of investment in the renewable energy sector. The last national news is from the Indonesian government that proposed the inclusion of illegal fishing in the list of transnational organized crimes at the 61st Asian African Legal Consultative Organization meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali. The head of the meeting of the Indonesian delegation also underlined the importance of including illegal fishing as a transnational organized crime, citing the global issues, I should say the global losses, caused by the practice as a reason. Director General of General Legal Administration at the Ministry of Law and Human Rights of the Republic of Indonesia, Cahyo R. Muzhar, said on the sidelines of the meeting on Tuesday, based on data from the United Nations Agency for Food and Agriculture, losses due to illegal fishing are estimated to reach $23 billion per year. Now we move to the international news. Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. has suspended the implementation of a controversial sovereign wealth fund that he fought to bring to fruition, citing the need to make it foolproof. His executive secretary said in an October 12 memo there was a need to study the fund's implementing rules and regulation, which were already in effect, to ensure that safeguards were in place for transparency and accountability. The factors cited for the suspension were the very same reasons that critics of the fund have cited when they opposed it, which were met by repeated assurances from its backers, including Marcos, the fund would be managed with prudence. We end the news with South Korea, the United States, and Japan that will hold a joint aerial exercise near the Korean Peninsula, which will be the first time the three countries are conducting such a drill, media reports said on Wednesday. The reported exercise will be the latest in a series of moves by the three countries to strengthen ties at a time of growing tensions with North Korea and China's influence in the region. In a further sign of growing trilateral security cooperation, South Korea, the United States, and Japan have completed work on a three-way communications hotline, Yonhap News Agency reported on Tuesday, citing a senior Seoul official. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary on President Joko Widodo's visit to China results in $13.7 billion deal. Listener, this week, Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid a working visit to China and Saudi Arabia. The president began his visit to China last Monday and then to Saudi Arabia on Wednesday. In China, President Joko Widodo met with President Xi Jinping at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing last Tuesday. Besides holding bilateral meetings, the two leaders also witnessed the signing of a number of memorandums of understanding on cooperation between the two countries. A day before meeting President Xi Jinping, President Joko Widodo attended the Indonesia-China Business Forum accompanied by Erick Thohir, the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, who also served as the ad interim coordinating minister for maritime affairs and investment. After accompanying the president, Erick said that the forum which the president attended resulted in a cooperation agreement between state-owned companies and the Indonesian-Chinese private sector of up to $13.7 billion. A total of 31 collaborations have been signed in this forum, such as green energy, electric battery industry, hydroelectric power plants, economics, and technology. Cooperation between Indonesia and China has recently increased, especially since the Indonesian government enacted a policy regarding nickel downstream. Indonesia no longer sells raw nickels, but instead invites other countries to invest in the nickel processing industry. Indonesia wants to become an industrialized country and a part of the world supply chain, considering that the country's nickel reserves are the third largest in the world. While the United States and European countries do not like this policy, China welcomes Indonesia's invitation to invest in developing electric vehicle batteries using nickel as a raw material. Now, with increasing cooperation between Indonesia and China, it is hoped that Indonesia can immediately realize its goal of securing natural resources while also becoming the world's raw supplier. Hopefully, in the future, this collaboration can also show the world how fair economic relations can benefit all parties. And listener, that was commentary from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on October 18, 1963, when Felicet became the first cat to fly into space. Felicet was the first cat sent into space and returned to Earth safely. On October 18, 1963 at 8:09 a.m. on the French research rocket Véronique AGI-47, Felicet, a black and white female cat found in the streets of Paris, was sent into space. Felicet returns to Earth safely. However, 2 months after scientists decided to carry out euthanasia to examine Felicet's brain condition. Moving on to October 18, 1967, about the Venera 4 spacecraft landed on Venus. The Soviet Union's Venera 4 spacecraft successfully landed on Venus after traveling for almost 4 months. This makes Venera 4 the first aircraft from Earth to ever land on another planet. We end today in history with the commemoration of World Menopause Day. World Menopause Day is celebrated every October 18 to raise awareness about the impact of the condition on the lives of women around the world. World Menopause Day was declared in 1984 by the World Health Organization and the International Menopause Society. Menopause is a term used to describe the natural decline in female reproductive hormones, starting between the ages of 45 and 55, when the body experiences its last menstrual cycle. In addition to increasing awareness about menopause, World Menopause Day is also celebrated to support efforts to improve the health and well-being of women in middle age and beyond. Well, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. We'll be right back.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on President Jokowi appreciates Chinese entrepreneurs in the development of Indonesia. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo attended the Indonesia People's Republic of China Business Forum at the China World Hotel in Beijing, China. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo appreciated the investment and contribution of Chinese entrepreneurs in development in Indonesia. In this forum, President Joko Widodo directly led the signing of dozens of investment cooperation documents worth $12.6 billion, or the equivalent of 197.9 trillion rupiah. President Joko Widodo said that in 2013, China was in 12th place as a contributor to foreign direct investment or FDI in Indonesia, but in 2022, it will be in second place. President Joko Widodo believes that if consistency is maintained, Chinese investment in Indonesia will continue to increase and become the top contributor to foreign direct investment in the next 1 or 2 years. President Jokowi's confidence is because currently Indonesia is focusing on downstreaming the industry for various commodities such as nickel, copper, tin, as well as other minerals and coal. Indonesia also focuses on building an integrated electric vehicle ecosystem to become an important part of the world supply chain. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo stated that to produce green products that create a green economic ecosystem, high technology transfer and investment are needed, particularly when combined with the use of green energy sources, which are very abundant in Indonesia. Moreover, he also explained that the potential for new renewable energy in Indonesia is very large, reaching 3,600 gigawatts, some of which, namely 3,200 gigawatts, comes from solar power, and there are 4,400 rivers for hydro energy. Meanwhile, for the trade sector, President Joko Widodo asked for support to expand market access for Indonesian agricultural and fishery products in China. Before closing his remarks, President Joko Widodo again assured investors that investing in Indonesia is the right choice because it is easy and safe. This can be seen from a number of economic indicators that show positive achievements, including consistent economic growth of above 5% and a trade balance that has been in surplus for 41 consecutive months. The Purchasing Manager Index has been at the expansion level for 25 consecutive months, and demographic bonus. The head of state invited Chinese investors to invest in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sehelai bulu rapuhnya menunduk parunya seakan meratap. Sanggupkah diriku berkicau menyambut pagi? Meloncat tergesa ke dahan cemara teringat anaknya yang belajar terbang, melanjutkan tugasnya mewarnai bumi. Berhembuslah anginku, bawa kicauku, bergoyanglah daunku, iringi kebakanku. Berhembuslah anginku, bawa kisahku, bergoyanglah kebebasanku. Menutup matanya dan terbang merendah, menghindari segumpal awan menghitam. Akankah ku sanggup cerahkan langit? Berhembuslah anginku, bawa kicauku, bergoyanglah kebakanku. Berhembuslah anginku, bawa kisahku, bergoyanglah daunku, iringi kebebasanku. Oh, 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 oh. Melayang sehelai bulu rabunya, sanggupkah diriku berkicau menyambut? Berhembuslah anginku, kicauku, bergoyanglah daunku, iringi kebakanku. Berhembuslah anginku, bawa kisahku, bergoyanglah daunku, iringi kebebasanku. Oh, 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 no.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, Sumatra Island in Indonesia has a lot of natural tourism potential as well as national park zones. One of the famous national parks is Tangkahan, which is located in North Sumatra Province. Tangkahan, or also known as the Hidden Paradise, is very popular among local and foreign tourists. Tangkahan Eco Park itself is located in the middle of a wilderness which has an area of around 17,000 hectares and is managed by the Conservation Response Unit with all natural offerings that tourists can enjoy directly. The dense forest in Tangkahan Eco Park is certainly a habitat for an abundant diversity of flora. Here, you can also see a variety of flora that you may have never seen before. Listener, one of the attractions that makes Tangkahan a favorite destination for local and foreign visitors is the opportunity to bathe elephants and ride them while exploring the forest. The elephants in Tangkahan themselves are bathed every 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. Of course, this moment is eagerly awaited by tourists, because when they are bathed, the elephants will lower their heads and lie down ready to have their bodies cleaned. After getting tired of doing natural tourism at Tangkahan Eco Park, you can unwind at the waterfall. To get to Tangkahan Waterfall, you have to pass through several small rivers before finally arriving at a 3-meter-high waterfall surrounded by shady trees. Tangkahan is precisely in the Gunung Leuser National Park area. Geographically, it is precisely between two villages, namely Namosialang and Seiserdang Langkat District. In Tangkahan, apart from the bathing of elephants, you can visit the Rehabilitation Center for the Endangered Sumatran Orangutan, which was first carried out by World Wildlife Fund and the Frankfurt Zoological Society in Bukit Lawang in 1973. To reach Tangkahan location is not difficult. If you are from outside the island of Sumatra, upon arrival at Kuala Namu Airport, you can use Damri Bus to Pinang Baris Terminal, then continue to Tangkahan. It takes about 4 to 5 hours. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bagai putri malu.
Voice of Indonesia.
At first glance, his face looks like the face of an adult human, with his eyes reflecting a blank, meaningless look. His body is covered in black clothes and a piece of ulos, a typical woven cloth of the Batak tribe, is slung over his shoulders. Meanwhile, on his head, he has a sortali, a kind of head covering. When the sound of music from the gondang, a traditional single-headed drum, starts to play, suddenly his sculpted body begins to move to the rhythm of the music. He is Sigali Gali, a unique wooden doll from Tomok village on Samosir Island in the middle of Lake Toba in North Sumatra. Sigali Gali statue was not just born just like that. There is a long history that follows it, as told by local guide Anderson Sigiro. Sigali Gali is actually the story of a king's son. 600 years ago, there was a king in the Batak region or Samosir Island whose name was Raja Rahat. Raja Rahat has a son, the only son. His name is Simanggali, a pious and obedient child who has the skill of Manortor or Batak dancing. However, when he was growing up, he was ordered by Raja Rahat or his father to go to war with the aim of expanding Raja Rahat's territory or kingdom area. However, in this war, Simanggali died or was killed in the battle, and his body wasn't found. Hearing this news, Raja Rahat felt sad. Yes, he regretted to lose his only son who should have given him the next generation. For the Batak people, having a son is important to continue the next generation of the family or clan line. Finding out that his only son is dead, Raja Rahat fell ill and almost lost his memory, because he kept thinking about his only son who was gone. Various ways were done to cure the king, including summoning powerful shamans in the Batak region. However, none of the shamans were able to treat Raja Rahat's illness. However, one day, one of the residents had a dream. He dreamed that if the king wants to be healed, try to make a statue that looks like Raja Rahat's son. They tried to make a statue, and after the statue was finished, the statue was presented before the king. Raja Rahat saw the statue, and he summoned a powerful shaman who was able to heal or summon the spirit of Simanggali. The shaman then did a ritual. The shaman summoned the spirit. The spirit was attached to the body of the statue that had been provided. The statue was ordered to dance and move. At the beginning, Sigali Gali could move or dance mystically, or at the behest of a shaman. But now, Sigali Gali is moved with the help of a puppeteer. Sigali Gali comes from the word gali, which in Toba Batak language means graceful. In order to stand upright, Sigali Gali is placed on a rectangular wooden pad. This wooden pad functions to connect the woven ropes, which can make the wooden doll move as if it were dancing. A puppeteer will control the ropes so that Sigali Gali can move smoothly. Like the nervous system and the body joints in humans, these ropes connect Sigali Gali's body parts, starting from the head, neck, arms, and palms. It turns out that we can still see the 90-year-old Sigali Gali statue at the performance venue in Tobok. But because its condition is not good anymore, a duplicate is made. In fact, Our oldest Sigalegala statue is over there. The original statue is broken, so we use a duplicate of that. But this is also old. This duplicate is over 30 years old. Of the three Sigalegala statues that we can see today at the Sigalegala Performance Venue in Tomok, all of them wear black clothes. Does this have any meaning? Well, actually it's like this. Because Batak people are like that, so when they die, they have to be wrapped in the black ulos traditional clothes like this. That's why Batak people used to wear clothes when they died. They wore a black suit. In memory of his son Simangale, when Raja Rahat was alive, he made a rule or decree in the kingdom that the statue had to be displayed or shown to the public, whether at cultural or traditional events accompanied by dancing or tortor. This can be seen today when we visit Tomok, Samosir Island. Visitors also join the manortor. What are their impressions after seeing Sigalegale and dancing? In fact, our origins are from Samosir, the origins of our ancestors. So we come here from Nainggolan district because I am from the Nainggolan clan. We want to see this very sacred Batak culture, which is very interesting. We want to see Sigalegale directly.
Well, we are very, very impressed, and that is the Tortor Batak tradition. So we teach manortor to children. There is an order in doing manortor by holding ulos traditional cloth. We wear sword for women and for men. The ulos for women and men are also different, both in good and bad times. I think Lake Toba, especially in Tomok, is the best place to do manortor.
After
I see and take part in the tortor dance with Sigalegale, I feel that Batak culture is really interesting for us. First, we watched it, then we will share it with our friends. This Batak culture is really interesting.
We are from the city of Subulu Salam in the district of Aceh province, and we come with families. We are here for holiday to see Sigalegale, which is one of Batak cultures. Then I am actually here to let children know that Indonesia has many cultures. I see Sigalegale and feel entertained. I want to come here again. We actually have a lot of hopes, ma'am, especially regarding Sigalegale, because this must be preserved. This is one of the Batak cultures that we are still fighting to maintain from ancient times until now.
Indonesia. VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a traditional song from East Kalimantan entitled Sungai Kandilo. The song Sungai Kandilo, which in English means Kandilo River, describes the story of a couple of teenagers who have beautiful memories of Kandilo River. Those memories even come to their dreams. But unfortunately, one of them died of being carried away by the Kandilo River. The feeling of regret and loss continues to haunt her. Kandilo River is a river that crosses Pasir Regency, East Kalimantan. Its length is 615 kilometers. Kandilo River is a tourism icon in Pasir Regency. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Sungai Kandilo by Aska. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia.
Tambang goyang di